Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you very much for joining with us today. It's the service for Sunday, the 20th of June, and this is the audio recording, which is available on the phone line, also as a podcast, and available as a pre-record with slides on the website for you to watch along. We're looking forward to this Sunday whenever we're continuing to look at the book of James, and we're asking the question, how do you cope with eternity? And if you're watching this before Sunday, you're very welcome to come and join with us on Sunday in the church building. As we're open again, everything is kept as safe as possible. We've got social distancing, we're wearing masks, and we're keeping the building well ventilated. So you will be very welcome to come and join with us. And there's plenty of room for visitors to come, as well as our own church members. Today's sermon is a little bit shorter than normal, because also taking part in the service today is the Reverend Terry McMullen, who is going to bring us a report on global mission and also lead us in prayer. With that in mind, the sermon is going to come first, and then Terry's report and prayer will come after that. And I hope that God will bless us as we worship together. The psalmist says in Psalm 39, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools." Today, as we return to James, we ask this question: how do we cope with eternity? How do we cope with the vastness of what is ahead of us in eternity? And whenever we realise that we are only here for a short time, how do we cope with that? So let's bow together in prayer as we turn to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, our Father, on this Father's Day, and we want to give you thanks for your goodness to us, and we thank you that you are the perfect Father, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, the one who provides for us. We thank you today, Lord, especially for earthly fathers who have given us so much, and we praise you. And we worship you today for your goodness in providing them for us. We thank you that you are from everlasting to everlasting, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just as you were God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we thank you that you are still our God today, and we can trust in you. You are faithful. You're the one who lived on this earth, and now you are seated at the right hand of your Father. And therefore we worship you today and we glorify your name. Lord, be with us, we pray, and guide us in this time of worship, that you would be worshipped and adored. Amen. The first hymn that we would be singing in church today is "Jesus, Stand Among Us in Your Risen Power, and Let This Time of Worship Be a Hallowed Hour. Breathe the Holy Spirit into every heart, and bid the fears and sorrows from each soul depart. Thus with quickened footsteps we'll pursue our way, watching for the dawning of eternal day, looking ahead to that time whenever we will be in eternity with our Saviour, and this life will have passed away, and we will have a new life in all its abundance to follow. So let's read those verses from James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, where we ask this question: how do we cope with eternity? "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city,' spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. Today then, as we return to the book of James, we're asking this question, how do you cope with eternity? And there are several ways for us to cope with eternity. The world has two main approaches. Either dismiss eternity, say that it doesn't exist, there's nothing further after this life, or make something up that is like a fairy story, brings a little bit of comfort in the midst of our most difficult moments. And you know, even as Christians, although we know the fallacy of those two approaches, at times we can be caught floating between either one of these two extremes. Or, of course, we can take the biblical viewpoint and indeed James's perspective, and we can cope with eternity by allowing eternity to make an impression on every part of our lives. It would sometimes be said of some Christians, they are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly use. And the accusation was that they were thinking so much about heaven and talking so much about heaven that they'd almost forgotten that they still had to live here on earth. Their minds were so caught up in eternity that they just ignored everything that was going on around them. They couldn't be relied upon. They had nothing practical to offer life on this planet because their whole emphasis was looking towards eternity and the world to come. James, however, in the passage that we've just read together and indeed the next passage that we'll look at next week, tackles this head on. And he makes it clear that unless we do have our heads in heaven, unless we have at least one eye, if not both eyes, on eternity, then we will simply make a mess on this life on earth. Look at how James begins. He says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James is saying, you make all sorts of plans, but you never think that God may have different plans for you. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. During the past year of COVID, one phrase that had fallen out of favour is back again. DV, Deo Volente, or as we translate it, God willing. We'd got so used to making plans and then carrying them out that DV had almost disappeared completely from our vocabulary. And I know that many of you will tell me about an old aunt or a grandmother that always said DV whenever they were planning to do something. But I imagine that very few under 50s would have used the phrase on a regular basis, and that age may even go up higher than that. But this past year has taught us that we can make all the plans we want, but unless God wills it to happen, then it simply will not happen. We cope with eternity by realizing that we are only a mist, appearing for a little while and then vanishing. We cope with eternity by only making plans that are for God's benefit rather than ours. We cope with eternity by, I suppose, remembering whose party it is. You know what it's like if you have ever been at a birthday party? It is obvious whose party it is because all the attention is on that particular person. Everyone arriving presents a gift and a card to the birthday girl or the birthday boy. Whenever happy birthday is sung, everyone sings to that one person. Whenever the candles are blown out and the cake is cut, there is only one person in the room who is allowed to do it. Everything is focused on that one person. Everyone is looking at them. Everyone is with them. Everything that is done is pointed towards that one person. If you arrive at a birthday party and it isn't your birthday, and you expect to be the centre of attention, then you're going to very quickly be very disappointed with what's happening. If you arrive and expect everyone to make a fuss over you, then quite simply you are in the wrong place. Because everything at the birthday party is for the one whose party it is. So how do we cope with eternity? We need to remember that it isn't your party. This life that we live in hasn't been designed purely for our benefit. We are not the centre of attention. Everything is not pointing towards us. So many people are disappointed with life because they want it to be their party. They want to be the centre of attention. And indeed, I suppose our celebrity culture promotes people who want to be the centre of attention. Those who crave the most attention seem to receive the most attention. But it isn't our party. This life is God's party. And therefore, he is to be the centre of attention. He is to be the one who everyone focuses on. He is the one who is to benefit out of everything that happens. Everything is to be used for his glory. Whenever we make this life about our plans and our achievements, we miss what this life is all about. James tells us, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. We are guests invited to God's party. And once we realise how we fit into eternity, then we will also realise how we fit into this world. John Piper gives a very clear analysis of this. And you may find what he has to say shocking. You may even put up some resistance to what he is saying, but I want to share it with you to see if any of this rings true in our lives. John Piper says the following: the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated video, but the prime time dribble of triviality that we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of his love, it is a piece of land. It is a yoke of oxen. It is a new wife, or indeed husband. The greatest adversary of the love of God is not his enemies, but his gifts. And the most deadly appetites are not for the poison of evil, but for the simple pleasures of earth. For when these things replace an appetite for himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable. And because of that, almost incurable. That has challenged me this week. That it is the simple little things in life that can take us away from the great banquet that Christ has prepared. It's easy to spot the big sins, but it's more difficult to spot the little things that aren't really sins, but stop us worshipping God. So what is it that owns our appetite? Does Jesus own our appetite? Do we find our identity, our joy, our purpose, our meaning in the pleasures that only Jesus can give? I want to ask that question again because it's an important one. Do we find our identity, our joy, our purpose, our meaning in the pleasures that only Jesus can give? Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. How then do we cope with eternity? We make sure that we live every moment of every day here on earth in the light of what God is doing in eternity. We make sure that we realize that this life is fleeting and just a moment, and yet eternity will last forever. We make sure that our identity and our joy and our purpose and our meaning is found in the pleasures that only Jesus Christ can give. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the almighty, everlasting God. We thank you today that we can trust in you. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you would help us to realize and help us to remember that this world is just a fleeting moment. Even if we manage to live longer than anyone else around us, it is all over in the blink of an eye compared to eternity. So, Lord, help us to remember that it is your will that allows us to live day by day. It is only by your will that we are able to breathe our next breath. It is only by your will that we are able to do anything in your name. So, Lord, be with us, we pray. Help us not to boast in ourselves, but help us only to boast in you and worship you. Amen. Our final hymn on Sunday will be about the return of Jesus Christ. Christ is surely coming, bringing his reward, Alpha and Omega, first and last and Lord, root and stem of David, brilliant morning star, meet your judge and saviour, nations near and far. Christ be with God's people, praise his holy name, Father, Son and Spirit, evermore the same. Hear the certain promise from eternal home, surely I come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So now Terry is going to bring us a report on the situation in Myanmar and also Nepal and update us on the PCI missionaries who are in Nepal. And then Terry is going to lead us in prayer. So thank you to Terry McMullen for organising and presenting this report.
Good morning, everyone. It is over 4 months since I reported on the situation of... Good morning, everyone. It is over 4 months since I reported on the situation of our global mission workers and our partner churches. Today I want to concentrate on two countries that have been going through challenging times over recent months. Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, in South Asia, and Nepal, a mountainous country north of India. First of all, Myanmar. On the 1st of February this year, the military staged a coup which brought to an end the 10 years of democracy in Myanmar. In the last 4 months, there have been nationwide peaceful demonstrations which the military have tried to stamp out by violent means. Many have been shot in the demonstrations, and many have fled across the border to India. Many have lost their lives through the bombing of villages by the military in the south of the country, and it seems intent on crushing the demonstrators by any means. Nevertheless, the protesters are continuing to demonstrate until democracy is restored, despite the consequences. The partner churches of PCM, the Presbyterian Church of Myanmar, have kept in contact with its leadership through the internet to encourage them as they cope with this desperate situation. The church cannot withdraw their money from the banks, and many people are without food. Many others, particularly young people, are in hiding for fear of being shot. I received a report last Wednesday that the Myanmar military began artillery strikes on the 5th of June against internally displaced persons, camps, in the Christian-majority Chin state. 5,000 people were sheltering in these camps and local villages. We are asked to pray for the people of Myanmar in this tragic situation, for wisdom for Christian leaders, protection for the Christian community and other demonstrators, and for the restoration of democracy in Myanmar. We move on to Nepal. Christianity entered the Hindu kingdom of Nepal almost 70 years ago, when Pastor Robert Kartak, who was Nepalese, and some friends arrived in Kathmandu and established the Christian Church in Nepal. Growth was slow at first due to the opposition by the Hindu government, which continues to the present day. But the church has grown rapidly in the last 30 years. There are now 5 Bible colleges where pastors and evangelists are trained for outreach and ministry throughout Nepal. The United Mission to Nepal was established in 1954 and its personnel work in different development projects together with Nepali colleagues under a general agreement which is renewable every 5 years. The UMN is a Christian organization working in Nepal, but its personnel are forbidden to evangelize by preaching the gospel. However, UMN personnel had witnessed to Jesus Christ through their work for the poor and needy. PCI's first missionaries entered Nepal in 1978, and to date, 25 people have served there. COVID-19 entered Nepal in February 2020, and the two UMN hospitals were overwhelmed with the number of cases they admitted. The second spike came in April this year, when the Indian variant entered Nepal. Joel Haftenstein, UMN's executive director, wrote recently that Nepal has gone through the worst phase of the pandemic so far during the month of May. Turning to PCI Global Mission workers in Nepal, the Reverend Peter and Jane Fleming returned home a year ago and have been continuing their work in Nepal remotely from Coleraine. Peter and Valerie Lockwood continued their work in Nepal, where their three teenage children, Connor, Joel and Erin, were attending the British Secondary School in Kathmandu. However, they all had to return home on the 31st of January due to the expiration of the Lockwood's visas. Pray for the acceptance and signing of agreements between UMN and the government of Nepal, so that their work in the two hospitals and the rural areas can continue. Pray for the church and Christians in Nepal that they will stand strong in the Christian faith despite opposition. Pray also for the Fleming and the Lockwood families as they continue to work remotely from home. Let us pray. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the spread of the gospel around our world. And we thank you for its arrival in countries like Myanmar and also in Nepal. We do pray for your blessing and encouragement for the people of Myanmar at this time, as they face great opposition from the military. Grant your blessing and encouragement to all who continue to demonstrate, that they may be protected and cared for. We do ask, loving Father, for the church in Myanmar, that they may continue to support and encourage their people during these difficult times. We pray, Father, too, for the situation in Nepal. We do ask, loving Father, for encouragement for all who seek to deal with the coronavirus outbreak that has taken place last month. And we pray, loving Father, for guidance for those in government as they negotiate with UMN the various agreements that are necessary. We pray, Father, too, for Peter and Valerie Lockwood and for Peter and Jane Fleming as they continue to work in Nepal together with their colleagues in the coming days. We do commit ourselves to you and pray that we may remain faithful in prayer for these your servants in these two countries. We pray in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you to Terry for that report and for leading us in prayer. And now, as we end our service, we ask for the Lord's blessing to be upon us, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.